The book of Acts records the Acts of the Apostles. That's how you get the title. But remember this, the Bible is not from a man. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof and correction and instruction in righteousness. The author of the book of the Bible is God himself, not no man. Luke wasn't a man. God guided him. The Holy Spirit guided the men of the Bible. Don't listen to that foolishness. When people tell you, well, that's what Paul said, and that's what Peter said. Especially want to tell you that when it comes to women being silent in the church and not preaching. Paul was a male chauvinist. Well, that made God a male chauvinist. Because God is the one who instructed him in John 16:13. He said, Jesus said, how be it when he, the Spirit of truth, shall come? He'll guide you to all truth. The Bible says, 2 Peter 1:20-21, knowing this verse, no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of a man, but holy men of God spake, and they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Bible is right, and every word of the Bible is right. There's no man been to the grave and back to tell us this book's wrong. You better stop listening to that foolishness. When God said, we do it. This is God's word. The Bible is right. And so when you look at the history of the Church of Christ, it's recorded in the book of Acts. The book of Acts are the acts of those apostles, the 12 men who Jesus chose to walk with him. This is the world's first book on the history of the Church of Christ. The history of the Church of Christ. It's in this book. It's on. This book teaches. This book teaches us what the apostles taught men and women to do, what to be saved, how to become Christians. We'll find in this book over 9,000 people were told what to do to be saved, how to be saved. They were told by the apostles what Christ commanded them to do. They had to believe and be baptized. Now, I'm going to tell you something up front. You will not read in the history of the Church of Christ, the book of Acts, any modern day denominational churches are not mentioned in the Bible nowhere. Now you say, I don't like that. That's up to you. You don't have to like it. The truth is, there's not a modern day denominational church in this book called the Bible. Baptist is not here. Methodist is not here. Catholic is not in here. Presbyterian is not here. Pentecost was a day. That wasn't never a church. That was a day. Mount Zion is a mountain, not a church. Amen. It wasn't a church. And so we just got to accept some things that this history book does not record what men say today is the church that in the Bible. That's right. That's right, Church of Christ. And you might well, don't be ashamed to tell folk that, because that's what the book say. And you want to know the history of the other modern day denomination church, you got to get you an encyclopedia. Go get you an encyclopedia. Don't go to the Bible reading for that. It's not in there. You might as well surrender to the Bible. It's going to be right over us anyway. Is that right? That's right. When you're trying to get to heaven, you don't want to be fooling with something you can't read about. I said it just like that. You don't want to be fooling with something. On the day of judgment, your soul is going to be too important to be messing around with something you can't read about. You better get. That's what we're trying to do in church. And I'm one of them kind of preachers, straightforward, say it. You want to know why I say it? Because when my soul, when I'm standing before God, I don't know nobody playing around with my soul. And I don't want you coming here believing that I'm a preacher that's going to play around, tickling your ears with some things. These churches are not in here. The way people were saved today, and they're telling them to be sprinkled with water, nobody was sprinkled in the Bible. Nobody was sprinkled, you all. They were not sprinkled. No one, you ever never read where anyone was saved by praying a sinner's prayer. Nobody said, Lord, I'm a sinner, come into my heart. Nobody said that in this book. There were 9,000 people saved in the book of Acts that we can read about up front, 3,000 on the day of Pentecost, and all of them did the same thing. So these are the things that we're going to be looking at. They believed they were baptized. And so here's the thing. If you really want to know the history of the church, this is the book that's going to tell you. Now let's go to Acts chapter 1 and get a few verses out there. Verse 1, he says what?
The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach.
Read.
Until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen.
Now, a treatise is a letter. The former treaty. Luke wrote to a man named Theophilus. He wrote this letter. Go to Luke 1 and verse 3. There was a former one that he wrote. This is the second one that he wrote, is the book of Acts. The former one we wrote is called the book of Luke, or the gospel according to Luke. The Bible said in Luke 1:3, it seemed good.
It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus.
Now see that? There's the same guy. So Luke wrote to Theophilus. Now, he obviously, the only thing we know is Theophilus was a friend or companion of Luke. And here's what we need to know, that he wrote a former treatise. The first one, he told him of all that Jesus began to do and what? Teach. Now, in verse 2 of Acts, he says, he taught him up to the point until
the day in which he was taken up.
All right, there's my title. Until the day in which he was taken up. Right there. This is the first part of the book of Acts. He talks about the day in which Jesus was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given what?
Commandments
unto who?
The apostles.
This is real important to know specifically who he gave the commands to. Now, there are some people today talking about they're apostles, and I'm going to prove today, this morning, and tonight, there is not an apostle living today. And I know there's a big old church here in the Houston area talking about the Church of the Apostles. I said there's a whole bunch of dead folk in there. Now, that's tonight, anyway. People need to hear this. I walk around calling himself apostle. No apostles living today. But he wrote. He gave the command specific to the apostles to whom he had what?
Chosen.
Luke told him everything about, he was telling Theophilus, everything about Jesus up to his ascension. And he told him about, in the book of Acts, Luke, he told him about his life, his death, his burial. And now he comes back and talk about the ascension. When he came back and stayed with the apostles, when he got ready to ascend, he's now getting ready to tell Theophilus what happened at that point. Now, and look at it. He said, he told him about all the commandments that he gave to the apostles. And then in verse 3, he said, to whom?
To whom also he showed himself alive after
whom,
his
who
passion?
Who did he show himself alive to?
The apostles.
Everything. Now, to whom specifically mentioned, he mentioned specifically the whom here is the apostles. He showed himself to the apostles. This is real important when we get to chapter 2, when we talk about the promise of the Holy Spirit. Men today, who are especially Pentecostalism, talking about they got baptized with the Holy Spirit. I'm still getting ahead of myself. You cannot read over this to whom he was talking about was to specifically to the apostles. Now, you're going to learn some things. There are a lot of false teaching today. And we need to expose them. Now, buckle your seatbelt up because I'm going to expose them, folks. Throughout the book of Acts, I'm going to call names, point out error. Why? Because my family and your family and our loved ones are caught up in some false doctrine and they don't realize it. It's up to us to tell them, Church of Christ. You're going to be offended? Jesus offended some folk, didn't he? Apostles came up to him and asked him. Say, Lord, you offending them. He said, leave them alone. Didn't he say that? Let's see if I can find that in the book of Luke there somewhere. Where did I find that, brethren? Let's go over there and get that. That's the blind lead of the blind. All you Church of Christ brothers all know enough. Find that for me. All right, yeah, get that. Matthew 15:14. Let's go over there right quick. I need to say that. Because I'm going to be calling some names.
But he answered and said,
Yeah, that's it. Verse 12. Go back to verse 12.
Then came his disciples and said unto him.
Now, here's what you need to know, members of the church. Some of you are concerned about preachers like me. Yeah. There's some members concerned about you. Now, I'm not going to run your loved ones off. Our motive is right. You remember this. We have to tell truth. And the truth don't always fit what you believe. The truth is not necessarily what you want to hear. And the truth will hurt you. But the motive of Jesus dying on the cross was not to hurt people. And the motive of the gospel preacher must be to save, never to please. Now you have an option to take them somewhere else. But I'm not going to back up on teaching this truth. Y'all got that? Now, these guys knew that when they interviewed me over a year ago. That's why I got selected. It's one of the reasons, because they want sound doctrine. Now, I'm just saying that because the book of Acts is going to cause, going to put some points. I'm going to have to point some fingers on some people. An error. And so Jesus offended some people. Listen to what the book say, verse 12.
Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended?
Who were offended?
Pharisees.
By who?
Jesus.
Read.
After they heard this saying.
Yeah.
But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up.
Read.
Let them alone.
He said, let them alone. Who? Let who alone? The ones that are offended. Let them alone, disciples. They be what?
They be blind leaders of the blind.
Both.
And if the blind lead the blind,
what's going to happen?
Both shall fall into the ditch.
All right, now here's the deal. You can leave your loved one under a blind doctrine preacher. The blind lead the blind, both of them go down. The preacher and the listener. So I don't got time for that. We have to say these things, and it will be offensive to some people. But when a person is seeking God for truth, they're not going to be offended when you tell them the truth. Amen. You remember, they're going to receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save their soul. That's that person concerned about their soul. They're not offended. They may be hurt. But I always tell you the analogy of the burning house, right? If you love somebody and they're in a burning house, if you got to snap their arm out of joint or their feet out of joint or their leg out of joint to get them out of the house, they're not going to jump on you and say, you should have left me in there to burn up. You hurt my arm. They're going to say, thank you. They're going to be limping. Thank you for getting me out of the house. And we're going to take them to the doctor, get a bandage on it. And we're going to take them to Dr. Jesus. And he'll bandage it up with the blood right there in the water. They'll come out born again and regenerate, a new child of God. Ain't nothing going to ever hurt them again. Yeah, that's right. That's right, Church of Christ. You didn't say that because I'm getting ready to talk about these things. Where am I, man? Verse number 3.
Let's yes, go sir. Over there. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs.
That's proofs. He showed himself alive with proof that cannot be denied. There's no error in it at all. Being seen
of them 40 days.
Who seen him 40 days?
The apostles.
There they are again. Seen of them, the whom, the them. These are all important things to know who he was talking about when he started talking about this baptism of the Holy Spirit. Them, the whom, back to them. He seen them how long? 40 days. Seen of them, 40 days. Read.
And speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God.
The kingdom, we're going to learn that when you look at the kingdom also talks about the church. We're going to learn this in the book of Acts. When you can't preach Christ and not preach his church, it's impossible. Because Christ is the head of the body. The body is the church. The body is the church. Christ is the head of the church. And you can't have Christ. Here's some people want Christ, but they don't want his church. You can't have him. You can't have Christ without the church of Christ. What? Think about it. You just answer your question. Who we belong to? Who's the head of it? So you can't come and say, you know, I'm going to be in church I choose on, church of choice. Christ didn't give no choices. There's only one church. He's the head of that, and that church is the same thing as the kingdom. And that's why he told Peter in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And he said, I give thee the keys to the kingdom. And I'm going to show you when Peter used the keys. This is easy. A person that just use a basic, it don't take much. Man messed the plan up. God never messed it up. God left a simple plan. Man came and stuck all these inserts in there, doing everything other than what God say do. That's nothing but the devil. Nothing but the devil. So he going to talk about the kingdom. He was resurrected, proving who he was. He was with the apostles. Then he said in verse 4, being assembled
together with them.
Who the them? He was assembled together with who?
The apostles.
Apostles. Not the 120. The apostles. All right, watch what he says now.
Commanded them.
He commanded
that they
who?
Should,
the apostles.
That they should not depart from Jerusalem.
Now, what did he tell them to stay?
in Jerusalem.
He told the apostles, don't you leave the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is real important. Do not leave where?
Jerusalem.
But wait.
For the promise of the Father.
The promise of the Father. Now, here's the other thing you got to remember. In this relationship with God, you have a Father who gave his Son. The Son, Jesus, is instructing his apostles that you wait for what my Father going to send you. I'm not sending this, but my Father. Know what it says. And then he says,
ye have heard of me.
All right, read.
For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence.
Now, there's a very important word here, promise. There's a promise that they would receive. There's a promise versus a gift. This is something you got to remember. I'm going to get to the gift in a minute. The apostles will receive a promise from the apostles, from the Father. The apostle will receive what? The promise. They will receive what? The promise. Let's say it together. The promise. Got that? What were they going to receive? Who going to receive it?
The apostle.
From who?
From the Father.
Not Jesus. The Father.
That's right.
Who told them to wait in Jerusalem? Jesus, the Son, said, you stay in the city of Jerusalem until... Until what? You wait there for the promise. Then in verse number 5, he says,
For John truly baptized with water.
Now, they recognize John. This is John the Baptist. But John the Baptist is dead. He got his head cut off. No Baptist church. No. That John, that was his job. I was missionary Baptist. Most African-American came through missionary Baptist. Yeah, that's most of us did. But let me tell you something. We growing up, we thought the same thing, but there was no Baptist church in the Bible. That was a man's job. He was a baptizer. That's why they call him the Baptist. Now you say, well, Brother Brooks, don't put down my folk. All my folk were Baptists. To put yours down, I got to put my mama and my grandmother out. But, you know, when we learned better, we did better. We just stopped saying things like that. Is it not in there? Don't say it. It's not about the church in the Bible. You know, you respect the Bible over you. You just got to go and say it now. John truly baptized. That's his job. His occupation. Read.
For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence.
Who going to get baptized with the Holy Ghost?
The apostles.
There you go. Now, Holy Ghost baptism is not your... You're not going to get baptized with the Holy Ghost. The apostles will. Now, see, I need to stop that because I know that there are people teaching that the only way you can be, the preacher going to lay his hands on you and stand up. Give me somebody that's willing to take. Come on, Watson. And y'all, Kim, give me somebody behind him. Well, let's stage it. Come on, man. Y'all help me out. Now, I'm finna baptize him with the Holy Spirit. Y'all ready? Do you fall back? You know what to do, don't you? You know that? Baptize in the name of the Father. That's what Benny the Hen do. Where is he? It's humorous. Humorous, but it's so sad. Now, you all, everybody with common sense know that's staged. Don't y'all know that's staged? Can't you see it? It's just money. It's a money thing, man. Come on, why are you messing with people's souls? People like that gonna bust hell wide open. You're gonna have to give them, men gonna have to give an account for that kind of foolishness. And you sit there looking at it. You know ain't nobody doing that. All of a sudden they start shaking. The Holy Spirit don't make you shake. Foam at the mouth. They call that the dumb spirit in the Bible. That's a stage. We did it. But you make a lot of money with that. And there's nobody getting the baptism of the Holy Spirit today. You got that? You got to go to water. It's not going to make you shake and foam at the mouth and all that. Now, I'm teaching this a little slow because some of these stuff, to me, it hurts my feelings to see that foolishness. I mean, you see that and all these innocent people sitting there. Man, I mean, we got friends and family believing this stuff. You know, in their heart of hearts, they really want to believe it's right, but down deep down, they really question that thing. But you notice the plate always go around a bunch of times. The apostles who would write the New Testament. Now, here's the other thing I know. These men would be the only men that would be able to write the New Testament. Now, at this point, the New Testament is not wrote. They only have an Old Testament. It took the apostles to write it. Now, they was going to have some instructions. John 16:13 says, "How be it when he, the Spirit of truth, shall come, he shall guide you into all truth." So these 12 men would be guided into truth, all truth. So this truth that we have is called the Bible. Specifically mentioned, when you look at the apostles, they wrote the New Testament of the Bible. Because that's the new agreement that Jesus came to start. It's nothing, you know, when you say Old Testament, New Testament, the only difference is this. It's kind of like this. You say, well, when we don't have instruments of music in here, we don't have no mechanical instruments. No, we don't worship like David did. David worshiped under the Old Testament. Now, testament or covenant is a law. It's an agreement between God and the nation of Israel under the Old. None of us are Jewish. That law was specifically for them. Christ came to start a new law, a new way that will be for all men. Now, what he said in that new way is recorded in what we know today as the New Testament. Who wrote it was the 12 men he chose to be there in Jerusalem so they could get the power to be able to write this new letter, this new agreement between man and Jesus. The covenant between is not between the Father and the child. It between Christ and the child. This is the new law is according to a covenant agreement between Christ and his children. The body of Christ. You got that? Okay, now, here's the thing about what I want you to know. Now, you say, well, we don't keep the whole Bible. You don't either. Ain't nobody keeping the whole Bible today. Man, and under the old law, you had to herd some goats and sheep and sacrifice. Now, nobody sacrificed. Ain't nobody in Houston sacrificed a goat today. Nobody. They didn't do it yet. Even the Sabbatarians are not sacrificing. And even the Seventh-day Adventists, let me say it, they're not sacrificing a goat on Saturday. They don't do that. You all know that. And here's the other thing is, under the Old Testament, if you picked up a stick on the day, on the Sabbath day, which is Saturday, leave that down there. See, now he did good. But see, he picked it up, and I told him not to. He would have got stoned to death. Under the old law, if you picked up the stick on Saturday, you got stoned to death. He would be, yes, go ahead and do it. See, he picked up that stick. That's in Numbers chapter 15, I think, somewhere in there. I don't got time to go over there. But here's it. She said, well, Brother Brooks, how do I know which law to keep? Well, it's easy. Come on now. Think about it. Drive down the freeway. There's a sign that says 75 miles per hour. That's law. Who gave it? Government. Who they put out there to enforce it? State troopers. Police, right? Okay, let's say 10 years ago it was 75. The law come back and say, well, too many people dying at 75. Let's reduce it to 55. So here it is 10 years later. You say, well, I don't care what they say. A sign is a sign. It don't mean nothing. I'm going to drive 75. Okay. The old law was 75. The new law is 55. Now, which one you want to drive to keep from getting a ticket? The old one or the new one? Huh? You know the answer, don't you? What's the answer? You'll get a ticket on jail judgment running over there in that Old Testament. That's old law. Don't drive the old law speed. You mess around, you better miss heaven driving that old law. You got to come under that new law, drive 55. Who? Who commanded it? Who the lawgiver? Jesus.
That's right.
Now, that's simple enough for a child to understand. That's the difference between Old Testament and New Testament. So which one should we keep today? There you go. Now he told him to wait where? In Jerusalem. Isaiah 2:2. Let's get that real quick. Get Isaiah 2:2, Micah 4:1, Zechariah 1, verse 8, then Luke 24:44.
And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains.
Read.
And shall be exalted above the hills.
Read.
And all nations shall flow unto it.
Read on.
And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob.
Read.
And he will teach us of his ways.
Read.
And we will walk in his path.
Read.
For out of Zion shall go forth the law.
And
the word of the Lord.
From where?
From Jerusalem.
From where?
From Jerusalem.
From where?
From Jerusalem.
It was going to go from Jerusalem. The prophets told him to go where? To Jerusalem. Jerusalem. Zechariah 1:16-17. Zechariah 1:16-17. What did it say? These are all prophecies telling them that everything was going to happen in Jerusalem.
Therefore, thus saith the Lord.
Read.
I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it.
Where's the house going to be built at?
In Jerusalem.
In Jerusalem. Christ said, upon this rock I will build the church. The house of God is the church. It was going to be built in
Jerusalem.
Read.
My house shall be built in it, saith the Lord of hosts.
Read.
And a line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem.
Read on.
Cry ye, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, my cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad.
Yeah.
And the Lord shall comfort Zion and shall yet choose Jerusalem.
Who chose Jerusalem?
The Lord.
The Lord. Go to Micah 4 now. It's an Old Testament prophecy. Prophecy means they said it was going to happen. Now Jesus done come on the scene, and he tells them, go to where?
Jerusalem.
Listen to the prophets.
But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established.
Where?
In the top of the mountain.
Read.
And it shall be exalted above the hills, and the people shall flow unto it.
Read.
And many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and into the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways.
Read.
And we will walk in his path.
Read on.
For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.
There it is. That's enough prophecy for anybody to believe it. Where he tell them the way that? Go to Luke chapter 24 now. Watch Jesus speak about the same thing the prophets told. The Jesus come on the scene and say, hey, listen, thus it is written.
And
thus it is written. Luke 24:44. Go there.
And he said unto them,
read.
These are the words
are
which
the
I
words
spake unto you.
Which I spake unto you.
While I was yet with you.
Yeah, read. This is
that
Christ
all
speaking.
Things must be fulfilled.
Uh-huh.
Which were written in the law of Moses.
And where?
And in the prophets.
Now I just read to you what the prophets said. And the prophets concerning what?
In the Psalms concerning me.
He said, now what I'm telling you now what the prophets said. Okay, now watch verse 45.
Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures.
Read.
And he said unto them, thus it is written.
There it is.
And thus it behooved.
You can read it in the Bible. The Old Testament is written. And thus it behooved Christ
to
suffer
and to rise from the dead the third day.
That's his resurrection.
And that
repentance
and remission of sins
should be preached in
his
name
among
all nations
beginning at Jerusalem.
Yeah. So the preaching of the church would begin in Jerusalem. Remission of sins preaching began in Jerusalem. Watch what he says. And ye
are witnesses
are
of witness. These things.
Who's witnesses?
The apostles.
We'll show you true Jehovah's Witnesses today. These are the true witnesses. Now, to be a witness, you got to be there. There are no witnesses living today. And he's not coming back to save a place on the earth called the kingdom. The earth will burn with fervent heat and the elements thereof. You don't want to be in a building called the Kingdom Hall when they come back. I'm telling you. Now listen carefully what I'm telling you. You listen carefully what I'm telling you. There's no witnesses living today. When you look at, and I'm going to show you, and this, when I do the book of Acts, there's a lot of books got to be burned up, and one of them is called the New World Translation, written by the Watchtower Society. That's the Jehovah's Witnesses. The Watchtower Society interprets, not translate.
Amen.
They change Jesus from a big G to a little G. They make him from the God of the Son of God to a prophet. I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says the Spirit speaketh expressly at a latter time, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy. And when you call Christ a little G, you just put him right there with the devil. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:3, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God, little G, of this world have blinded them, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ shall shine unto them. But God said in Hebrews chapter 1 and the verses number, listen what he called God. He never called him a little God. In verse number 9, verse number 8, he said, unto the Son he said,
but unto the Son he said, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever.
God said it. The Father said, Thy throne, O God. He called Jesus God.
Amen.
And he is God. That's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three making one. Call a Godhead. Amen. Here's the thing about this, is qualifications to be an apostle. And I'm going to deal with those qualifications tonight. And here's the thing, these men had to wait in Jerusalem for a reason. They had to wait in Jerusalem to receive the promise and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They had to wait in Jerusalem to start the preaching of the gospel. They could not start it until Jerusalem. No one preached the gospel until then. It wasn't a gospel to preach.
That's right.
The gospel story has to do with Christ dying and with buried and rose again. That's why the thief don't have to be baptized. He was living when he was talking to the thief. He was living when he was talking to Nicodemus. There was no gospel to preach unless he resurrected. He had to shed blood, for there was a gospel. Without blood, there is no remission of sins. Brooks, what in the world people are telling us? I'm going to tell you what people are telling you, what you want to hear. When you come to the Bible, there's some simple things that we cannot ignore. They had to begin the preaching of the gospel in Jerusalem. And they cannot begin their preaching until they have received the promise of the Holy Spirit. Listen to verse number 6 now.
When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?
See, this is why he had to open and understand. They still thought he was coming to build a physical kingdom. Christ wasn't coming to start no physical kingdom. He's King of Kings, Lord of Lords, over a spiritual kingdom. What is that spiritual kingdom? The church. That's why I say the church, I'm going to show you, the church and the kingdom is the same thing. Same thing. In verse number 7, he said unto them,
It is not for you to know the time.
See, they didn't understand. They couldn't until they got this promise. For the time, the season, which who?
The Father
and here's
hath
thing.
Put in his own power.
Stop right there. I need to deal with this. See, now here, y'all got to realize something else, that when you don't remember the Lord every Sunday like he told you, there's a Father you got to answer to. A Father who gave his only Son. And on that cross, the Father watched him. And you know who he was dying for? Your sins and my sins.
That's it.
Who gave him? The Father gave the only Son for us. The Son did the Father's will by going to the cross. He took the crucifixion. But the Bible, if you remember correctly, the Bible says that before he died, he said to the Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? Here's the question. Where did the Father go? The Father backed off because he cannot be in the presence of sin, and Jesus had to take your sin on that cross. And here's the thing about it. The Father says, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. This you do in remembrance of me. Now, a man come back and say, ain't once a month enough? Well, I'll tell you about this thing. Let me drop some news to you. When that Father, you standing before him, you remember that dusty-eyed man that told you ain't once a month enough ain't going to be the Father you're going to be talking to. And it won't be something that's a laughing matter. You know what? If I sent my Son for you and I put it in a book and I told you what to do, I wouldn't let you in my house. I wouldn't even open the door for you. And he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. And in Matthew 7:21, he said, not everyone says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he to do the will of my Father. Many will say to me that day, Lord, did we not do this in your name? Prophesy in your name, cast out devil, do many wonderful works. He said, I will profess unto them, I never even knew you. Depart. Now, you think about it. Do you take the Lord's Supper every Sunday? Question. Why not then? Who told you you didn't have to? Isn't that a simple matter? I guarantee you this. Why is it that every church get the money from you every Sunday? But they won't let you do what God commanded? They say, well, we don't got to. They don't say how often. It don't say how often take your money. In that case, the only thing we got is an example of how often they took the Lord's Supper. Acts 20 and verse 7, upon the first day of the week, the disciples came together, what? Break bread. Acts 20 and verse 7, the disciples did it. In 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, he says what? Now concerning the collection of the saints, as I've given order to the church of Galatia, even so do ye. Do ye upon the first day of the
week.
So what are we following? The first day of the week example. When did they take the Lord's Supper?
First day of the week.
When did they take a collection?
First day of the week.
There you go. So if they're going to take the collection based on the example, then why shouldn't they take the Lord's Supper based on the same example? So where are you going to get once a week from? There you go. Man said it, but that Father is not somebody you want to mess with. Once a month. I'm going to stop. He said, notice this. He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father
hath put in his own power.
Now here's the other thing. When Jesus come back, no man today know when the end of the world will be. Why would you be in a church where they predicting that? That baffles my mind. If they predicted 10 times you missed it, don't you know it's not from God? Jehovah's Witnesses have predicted the end of the world several occasions. Taz Russell, he predicted it, the end of the world. He missed it, you all. We still living, ain't we? Charles Taz Russell, the founder of the Jehovah's Witnesses. A lot of these men today taking God's, they taking matters in their own hand, man. Jesus don't even know when the end of the world is going to be. Only who? The Father. I got a Bible for that. I got a Bible for it if you just want to read it. But it's in the book. Y'all know by now, I'm not going to say much. I ain't got scripture for it. He shall receive power after what?
After the Holy Ghost has come upon you.
Now, when are these guys going to get that power? After the Holy Ghost come upon them. Read.
And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem.
Are. Unto Jerusalem.
And all Judea.
Both in Jerusalem, all Judea, and
in Samaria.
And what? Uttermost parts
of the earth.
Here's a lesson. God has given us in the scripture what he wants us to know. No more, no less.
That's right.
In Deuteronomy 29:29, said a secret thing belong to God. Those things which are revealed belong to us. There are some things we can't know. And then he says, even these apostles, he was letting them know, you don't fully understand what's getting ready to happen. In verse number 9, he said, when he has spoken,
and when he
these,
has
things,
spoken these things while they beheld,
watch this.
He was taken up, now, and a cloud received him out of his sight.
Go to the scene. Jesus there, and while he was taken up, they beheld. which means they looked at him. He was, here's the day which he was taken up. You got to be there. He talked to him. He said, wait right here in Jerusalem. And then he started to go up. And the Bible said they beheld him. They looked at him. Read.
And a cloud received him out of their sight.
A cloud received him out of their sight. Read.
And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven,
now they kept
as
looking,
he went up.
I'm so glad they tell us which way to look for heaven.
Hello.
They were looking up. Amen, somebody.
Good point.
Yes, sir. They were looking up. They were looking down. That's some of us. If we want to go to heaven, we got to keep looking. To Jesus, the author and finisher of our... Notice what he says.
Behold, two men stood by them in white apparel.
Yeah, these are angels.
Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven?
Who are you talking about? Who was standing there?
The apostles.
What were they gazing at?
Jesus.
Who was talking to them? Who were they looking at?
Jesus.
What was he doing?
Going
up in what?
Heaven.
Mm-hmm. In a cloud. In. Know what it says?
This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven.
Just like you seen him leave, he's coming back. And here's the lesson. He gone. But friend, he coming back. Yeah, he coming back with power. He left with power. Matthew 28, 18, said, he said, all power has been given unto him in heaven and in earth. Go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. He left with power. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7, 8 said, to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel. He's coming back with power. He left with power.
Amen.
Coming back. I'm glad that angel was there to tell them, don't worry about anything. He's coming back. Jesus said he was coming back, didn't he? Yes, he did. Then Revelation, in John, Revelation 1, verse 7, he said he coming. Look, watch this. Now watch this. A lot of people say he rolled off on a cloud and he's coming back with on a cloud. Now watch what the Bible says now.
Behold, he cometh with clouds.
There you go. See, that's a cloudiness. I know man draw a lot of pictures, right? Man draw a lot of pictures like riding on clouds. It's a cloudiness. Remember, there was a greater cloud of witnesses, too, in Hebrews chapter 12.
Mm-hmm.
That was all the men and women of faith. Now, when he comes back, he's coming back with a cloudiness. There's angels and everybody all around him. See, he's coming back with his mighty angels taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel. And then he's going to capture his church and take her back to the Father's house. Now, when he go back to the Father's house with the church, there he gives a power back to the Father. That's 1 Corinthians 15, 24. He take the bride to the house where the Father at, and then he hand the power back to the Father. And the Father start issuing judgment. Now remember this. Don't mess with that. Because he's coming back to get his bride. That's the purpose of coming down. He's going to take her back. This is a good preacher right here. This is the stuff you can learn from. It's easy to understand through. See, you don't have to have no PhD to get this thing. You don't have to go to no theological school to understand what the Bible is teaching us, man. You just have to leave a cloud. What did it say, on a cloud or with?
With a cloud.
Okay. So we've been taught a lot of things. You just go around saying, well, he came on a cloud, he's going back on a cloud. Read your Bible. Just like what people say, the streets of gold. Ain't no streets. It says street.
Little stuff you learn by reading closer.
But the point is that he coming with the cloud, every eye shall see him.
And they all, also which pierced him.
Everybody that killed him on that cross, and all kindreds of the earth.
And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him.
All right, let's turn to First Thessalonians chapter 4 as I close. In verse 13, here's the end. He's coming back. I'm going to stop it right here. He's coming back one day, you all. He's coming back, and I'm getting ready to give an invitation. He's coming back. This is the day we just read about when he was taken up. So now you got to get yourself ready for the coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back. He's doing what? It's coming back. Verse number 13 said, but I would not have you ignorant.
But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren concerning them which are asleep.
That's people who are dead.
That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope.
Read.
For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again.
There's that gospel. What you got to believe?
Jesus died.
He died for our sins according to the scripture. Here's, I'm trying to get you ready for him when he come back. Here's it. When a gospel preacher preaches, this is a gospel preacher. Now, every preacher is not a gospel preacher. But to be a gospel preacher, you have to specifically preach that Christ himself came to this world. Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. That's what gospel preachers preach. Here's the good news to the sinner man, that he died for our sins according to the scripture, that he was buried, and that he did what? Rose again the third day according to the scripture. That's 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. And so you got to hear that gospel. That's good news to you right there. If without his death, we had no hope. And then he says here,
if we believe that Jesus died and rose again,
even so,
them also which sleep in Jesus
will do what?
Will God bring with him.
Read on.
For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep.
Yeah.
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God.
Read.
And the dead in Christ shall rise first.
All right, that's what you want to do. You want to be the first one up. Where you got to die at? Where you got to die at? So you got to ask yourself the question, if I'm going to die in Christ, how do I get in Christ? Galatians 3:26 says what? You are all the children of God by what?
Faith.
In Christ Jesus. For many of you have been
baptized into Christ.
Into Christ.
Now put on Christ.
Put on Christ. So to get in Christ, you got to be baptized into to put on. So you want to make sure you in Christ. Now any baptism is not good enough. It must be baptism according to truth. Get baptism in the Bible don't put you in a modern-day denominational church. It won't do it. It only puts you in one. They're like, there's only one Lord coming back. There's only one bride. That baptism will not put you in a modern-day denominational church. It won't do it. You say, Brother, that's the church I'm in. The baptism didn't do it. This baptism puts you into Christ. And to put into his body. And in his body is the church. And when you're in his church, it's the teachings of Christ. That's why you take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. So if you ain't doing that, you're not in the body. If you're not in the body, you're not in Christ. If you're not in Christ, you're not going back with him. You got to prepare to meet your God. Then he says this. He's coming back with a shout. Coming out of the Lord shall not prevent him from sleep, for the Lord himself shall descend what? From heaven with a shout. With the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God and the dead of Christ shall rise first. Then we, Paul put himself in there, which are alive and remain,
shall be caught up together with them in the clouds.
What cloud? That cloud in this. Not on a cloud.
To meet the Lord in the air.
There you go. So now we know a suspension in the air. Okay, read.
And so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Read.
Wherefore, comfort one another with these words.
Okay, that's it. I'm going to stop right there for the book of Acts. But now, here's the comforting part. When you hear this good news, you hear today, you say, Brother Brooks, I just want to be a Christian. I honestly, I'm with you. Can I just tell you how to be a Christian? Y'all want to be a Christian?
Amen.
Like they did in the Bible, right? What Christ said is, he said, you hear the gospel. What did you hear? Hear the gospel. You got to hear that Christ died for you and was buried and rose again. You also got to believe that. Same story. That he was the Son of God, that he died and was buried and rose again. You believe it? Do you believe Christ died for you? Do you believe Christ is the Son of God? God so loved the world he gave his only begotten who? That whosoever believe in what? Now shall not perish, should not. You should not after God gave you the book. You got to believe, you got to hear the gospel, somebody, a preacher, gospel preacher, how can they hear except they'll be a preacher? Gospel preacher, preach the good news to the sinner who's lost. He tells them you got to believe in Jesus Christ. Now, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, we can't help you over here. We can't help a person don't believe. We don't preach Buddha, Muhammad, nobody else. We can't help somebody don't believe in Christ. Because that's a must. No sense in baptizing a man who don't believe in Christ.
That's right.
He's damned already. He's condemned already. That's why Jesus said, he that believeth not shall be damned. Don't baptize them if they don't believe. But if they believe, baptize them. Why? Then you got to confess Jesus, the Son of God. What you going to confess with your mouth? That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Matthew 10:32. Then after you make that confession, you got to be baptized. Now here's the importance of baptism. You got to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Why? Christ commanded it. Mark 16:15. Get that for me. Go into all the world. Preach what?
The gospel.
The gospel to who?
Every creature.
He that believe and is
baptized
shall be
saved.
Okay, so you got to believe. Now you got to be plus baptism. Baptism is a plus to the belief. Baptized for the remission or the washing away of sin. Baptism is for the remission of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. Baptism is your death, your burial, and your resurrection. Christ the Son did it. You want to be a child of God, you got to do the same thing. That way you become a child like the original child. The original only Son died and was buried, rose again. You want to be a child of God, an heir of God, a joint heir of Jesus, the first Son and the only Son, then you too must die. The old man got to go. The old shacking, drinking, cussing. Not going to church. Believe whatever you want to believe, do whatever you want to do kind of guy. Got to die, he got to go. Got to go. And I know that's not good English. But that's the way they said it where I grew. You got to go. Oh man, I'm glad he got to go, don't you? Then you bury that old man. You bury that old man in water. And under this water, he contacts something really essential. Revelation 1 and verse 5 said under the water, he contacts what? The blood. What is the blood going to do? Wash away your sins. So you step in the water by faith, believing Christ in there. And then when you come up out of that water, there's a resurrection. Don't you see that picture? And then the Lord will add you to the church, Acts 2:47. Praising God and having faith with all the people in the Lord.